Good evening. We'll go with my Hitchcock.
There you go. Hey, you know, I normally, one of the things I hate to do the most on this show is like just talk about the news and stuff. But after a week like after a week like this, I don't see how we could do anything but.
Yeah.
It has been a fun news week.
It has been an interesting news week.
It's like, you know, I felt almost like felt like building like a wheel and like spinning the wheel to see what thing we're going to talk about, because there's no possible way we can talk about all the insanity that happened this week.
There was a bit. There was
a bit. Yeah.
So let's go in. Let's just do like a little round robin-y thing. Let's start with Jay. What was your favorite
item? Well, I had something last week that we never got to.
Oh, okay.
And that was, it's kind of germane. So it's in regard to something that has been in the news all week with the ongoing government shutdown and the back and forth. But this was from last week, and something I had noticed, and I've seen it, and it's the concept that if Trump wants a wall, he should pay for it himself. and it struck,
well.
It yes. struck me on a bunch of different levels.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, on the one hand, you just change a couple of things and... And oh boy, you're Haiti McHaterson.
Yes.
Woman wants an abortion, she should pay for it herself. And you're a misogynist and an oppressive tool of the patriarchy. And how can you say that? You can't control me. You can't control their bodies. Get your laws out of my bedroom. Blah, 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 blah. All we said was if you want one, pay for it.
Right.
If you want insurance, pay for it. If you want a house, pay for it. If you want food, pay for it. You know,
bingo.
I mean, the government, three quarters of the government is other people paying for other people's shit.
Exactly. You know, it's like, do you really want to go down that rabbit hole? The way one particular side of the aisle hands out money like it's water.
Yeah.
Because it would be very easy to say, you know, oh, if you want, you just insert their pet project, you know,
mm-hmm.
college, pay for it yourself. That's what we've been saying.
Yeah.
You want health care, pay for it yourself.
I remember I had a really, it was one of my shining moments online where I actually kind of won an argument with a liberal, and this was during the point the Obamacare, blah, 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 you know, everybody paying for everybody else's abortions and birth control and yada, yada. And I remember I had this argument with a woman online, and she was all about, you know, the government buying her birth control and how important it was and all this stuff. And, you know, and I was basically like, why should I have to pay for your birth control? Your birth control.
Yeah, exactly.
She had these reasons, and she had all these reasons about how they were so important, and she needed them, you know, not for birth control, but because of her health, and she wouldn't be able to you know, live her life without them, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, okay. You know, I need a prosthetic leg to live.
Yeah.
Should I send you my address so you can mail me a check? I got blocked so fast after that. But, like, that's the point, right? Yep. If you need something, pay for it yourself.
Yeah. That's kind of like welcome to adulthood.
Yeah, welcome to adulthood. And I'm sorry that, you know, there are ways. And I know everybody doesn't have a really great job with really great benefits, but... You know, you're responsible for you. You really are. Well,
not only that, but the borders are actually one of the things that's, you know, the government is constitutionally required to maintain.
Yes.
Exactly. Totally. Thank you.
Yep.
You know, which was part two of the WTF moment. You know, it's like actually, that's literally a moment that is a something vital to national security is securing our borders. That's literally right. one of the things that the federal government is tasked with. It's one of the things the federal government should be doing. It's right up there with printing the money and building the roads.
Right.
Protect our borders, print the money, build the roads. That's all it should be doing.
Yeah, literally says in the Constitution, I think it's Article 1, you know, repel invasions, you know, things like that. It's like...
Well, the Democrats don't see it as an invasion. They right. they see potential voters, right?
I don't care how they yeah. see it. But,
if they were voting Republican, that wall would be built and it'd be 38 feet high.
Yeah.
Seriously, yeah.
Yeah.
With gun turrets.
The third thing is, what a stupid fucking thing to propose. So when President Bill Gates gets in, I'll just pay for it myself. I'll just seize land by eminent domain for my own personal wall because I can afford it. Like, are you not thinking about the ramification? You know, it's like we will always have the reins of power.
Yeah.
You know? Mm.
And you know, it's like. Like you just said, so you're establishing a precedent that the president can right. do anything he wants to as long as he pays for it himself.
Yeah, bingo.
Wow.
You know, we'll just round up undesirables as long as the president pays for it himself.
Sure. Go fund me.
You know. Yeah, exactly.
You know, I saw the they're doing a GoFundMe for the Coast Guard.
I would be perfectly all right if we got rid of the income tax and all government functions were
GoFundMe.
if you can't convince enough people that your cause is worth supporting financially, maybe it shouldn't be.
Okay.
I think we could get enough people in this country to support, you know, a basic army. I don't think we could get support for running off to foreign countries and blowing the shit out of, you know, foreigners, but as far as, you know, protecting the borders, maintaining an army, repelling invaders, you know, that sort of thing. I think we could entirely fund that with GoFundMe. People, you know, there'd be enough people, and the people that don't want to pay for that wouldn't have to. They can spend their money on some other
thing. You want to pay for the military forever, including whatever toys they want to buy?
No, that'd be stupid.
No. Here's how you do it. You give people for a certain amount of money, they can run the drones.
Oh
my God.
Think about that.
Jay, you're a genius.
What about this?
Five minutes, it's 10 grand.
What about this? You know how they get like millionaires, like they send like billionaires up in space, right?
Yeah.
You know, for $10,000, you can take a ride in an F-15.
Here is your objective. We have to blow up this camp.
Yeah.
For $25,000, you can run the drone that does it. Are you kidding? You would have a line out the door that would rival the scene in the Christmas Story going to see Santa. You know, just have people lining up with suitcases full of money.
You might. I'm telling you. And the people that don't want to do it wouldn't have to pay for it.
Exactly. There you go. You know, we've got a remote, you know, we have a perfect remote control.
And if you think it's important to give money to, you know, poor people or old people or whatever, then
that's kind of the annoying thing is there's literally nothing stopping you from donating directly to help.
They don't want to do that.
Or you can voluntarily send more money in than taxes. The government, if you send them an extra grand, they're not going to be like, oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Oh, no, you overpaid.
Right.
You know, Warren Buffett complained that his secretary paid more than he did, but you didn't see him writing out a check for the extra amount.
And the reason that she paid more is because he's got the accountants to help him use the tax law to pay less than his secretary.
Right.
So you could just write that check. Yeah. There's nothing.
I also suspect all of his income is probably, you know, like interest income and stuff like that, capital gains, right. not income. So it's taxed at the capital gains rate, whereas his secretary actually makes income, and she's probably paid pretty well. So she's probably in a much higher tax bracket. So. yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of taxes, working in a library, I want to tell you that tax forms are in. And and they are markedly different this year.
Really?
Like, shockingly different. Yeah. We got the federal tax forms, and it is, I'm a little stunned by them, because all of the forms, including, it's all in one thing. Like, previously we would have 1040 forms and 1040A and 1040EZ and then all the schedules and this and that and the EIC and the blah, 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 blah. You know, like, we would have stacks and boxes and all sorts of different forms. It's all in one thin little booklet.
Ronan.
No, it's Tig.
Sorry.
Tig is, I don't know what he's yelling about. I know. Well, Ronan was like the squirrel poor cat.
Yeah, he was.
But, so the tax forms are all in this one little thin booklet. And I looked at the 1040, and there's not a 1040A or a 1040EZ this year. It's just this simplified 1040. And it's literally like one page. And it's just, okay, Bubba.
How much did you make? Send it in.
Basically, that's what it looks like. There are a number of like other forms included in this little booklet, like schedules and whatnot. But we're all kind of like stunned. Like, you know, we haven't got the instructions in yet, but I'm assuming they're going to be similar to, you know, simplified maybe, because the form is super simple. So. Thank you, President Trump. Librarians everywhere. Thank you.
And now the people are lining up for the free tax.
Yes.
Yep.
If you need free tax help, contact your library, because they might have a thing going with your local AARP. And you don't have to be a member of AARP. You can just be like anybody who needs help with their taxes. Hi, Tig. Hi, buddy. So.
All right.
Yeah, tax season has begun.
What was your favorite incident this week, Rita?
This week, my favorite incident was the Gillette commercial. It wasn't a commercial. It was a short film. Because really, they were not selling anything.
Well, they were selling something. Wasn't razor blades.
Well, they were selling some. No, no, it was not razor blades. And
the execs may want them, but
it's okay. So let's preface this. So if anybody doesn't know, Gillette released this short film, not a commercial, about toxic masculinity and the whole Me Too thing and trying to be the best man you can be. And I confess that I did not see the entire short film because it was repugnant to me. I know. It was awful. Okay. You're all right, but so it was I watched part of it and I thought, the person who made this short film, do they actually know real men? Do they know actual men that, you know, live their lives and work hard for their families and raise their kids? And
No.
I have trouble with it because my best friend is a man. I'm married to a man. Like, it's like, and all the men I know, all the men in my life are good men. Like, to the point where I sometimes look at the men in my life and I'm like, wow, they really sacrifice a lot of their own wants and needs for, you know, for the people that they love, you know, even from small things, would you rush? Even from small things like getting up extra early in the morning to make the coffee, to, you know, it's like there's a spectrum of stuff that men do that really isn't recognized by society. You know, they go ahead and they take the trash out every day without complaint, without even thinking about it, without, you know, they shovel the 4 feet of snow in the driveway without even thinking about it, because that's what they do. That's what men do. And it's like these little things that men do that aren't recognized that make them good men, that make them, you know, even to the extent of protecting other people, protecting strangers even. You know, you hear it all the time in like these mass shooting events where a man will throw himself in front of a woman to protect her and she's a complete stranger. And it goes unrecognized. And these are the type of men I know. And so when I saw this Gillette ad, it just was infuriating to me. I was like, how dare they? Like, kind of point the finger accusingly at every man, like, you could be better. And well, I'm thinking, what sort of men do they know? This person that made this ad, like...
Well, the person that made the ad is radical feminist Kim Garrick.
Shocker. How do we know she's a radical feminist?
Because that's what the...
Does she self-identify as that?
Yes, she does.
She does?
Yes. Actually, she does.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. So she, you know, you can imagine what her idea of toxic masculinity is. But, you know, that's... In this film, they show little boys fighting and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, humans, despite the liberals' bizarre fantasy land bullshit, humans are animals. We still have animal instincts, and we still have, you know, you look at little baby animals, little kittens, little dogs. They all fight with each other. It's what they do. And they wrestle and fight and all that kind of stuff. And they and human male, especially human male children, but you know, girls are every bit as aggressive, if not more so than boys. They just do it in different ways. But you know, you get any group of boys together and there's going to be a fight. But it's just a guy thing. And you can't, you know, everything that men do that everyone can agree with that's bad, like, you know, harassing women and, you know, whatever they do, I would submit that most of that is from not having a good male parental figure when they were a child.
There's a lot of evidence to support that, but nobody wants to talk.
Because you take a boy and you treat him like a girl and you tell him to sit still and behave, and you don't have a good male influence to show him how to be a man.
Right.
And he's gonna be a wild animal. He's gonna be completely untamed and uncivilized. And that's, you know, that's
part of you know, growing up as a boy. Boy and doing boy stuff, let boys be boys, is learning how to interact with other men, I think, right?
Yep.
And I mean, I can't speak to the, you know, the male experience. I can't speak to that, but boys are different than girls. They need to do boy stuff. And you know, there was a period in the short film, the Gillette short film, where they showed boys roughhousing and wrestling and doing, you know, and it's like, you know, boys do that. And then, you know, at a certain point, the parents are like, okay, that's enough. Stop it. know, or like somebody gets a, you know, punched and they're like, oh, I should probably stop fighting now before I get my ass kicked. You know, like one of those. And it's just kind of like, you know, you're learning how to function as in, you know, in the social world as a man. And one of the reasons I wanted to bring this up, because it was kind of like poignant this week for me, this whole toxic masculinity, because this week and at work, I kind of experienced the toxic femininity. And it, and I think about the Gillette commercial, and I'm thinking, who is going to make the tampon commercial telling women to be better?
No one.
No one, right? Like this week at work, my friend just had a baby less than a year ago. She's not a big woman, and the baby was 10 pounds, right?
Oh my God.
That's a big baby.
Yeah. Hey,
I hear NFL teams are already scouting.
This kid, like, he looks like he came out of the womb looking like he needed a steak. Like, he was a bruiser. He's huge. And she's not huge. And so, you know, she's a beautiful woman. And she, it takes a while for women to get their figures back after having a baby. You know, if you're not paid to exercise, it takes a while. So, another woman who I work with told me that people were gossiping about my friend, saying, oh, is she pregnant again? You know, because she still kind of has like the post-pregnancy body. They were laughing at her body. And at first I was like, well, what the fuck? You know, like, is this still high school?
Yes.
Yeah.
But for some women, this is what women do. It's like psychological violence between women. And I think, our library director is a man, and he found out kind of about the situation that was going on. And he had no idea, like, whoa, I don't know where to go with this. Like, I don't know what to do, because it's like landmines, like with women. It's like this psychological terrorism. And I thought, you know, it's like, I thought like this sort of shit was over after I got out of high school, but apparently it's not. Like, women are still that bad. And I, in light of what happened this week with the whole Gillette commercial, I thought this goes both ways, you know? Why is it only men that are held accountable for their, you know, it just really bothered me.
There was an article, the American Psychological Association is
being sued.
Well, they're not directly being sued. It's actually Harvard that's being sued, but it is the. They're being sued over the American Psychological Association's, the organization released guidelines saying that the traditional masculinity is psychologically harmful to young men and boys. And the guidelines urge psychologists to recognize that masculinities are constructed, exhort them to understand the impact of power, privilege, and sexism on the development of boys, and to generally view masculinity as negative for mental health.
Oh my God. Wow.
The APA is, I'm just reading from the article. The APA is the largest accrediting body of psychology programs in the United States. It oversees accreditation for at least 406 doctoral programs in the field and has 117,000 active members. So they filed a bunch of guys got together and they filed a Title IX complaint against Harvard University, because Harvard University is completely the Harvard University psychology program is 100% APA. They conform completely to the APA code. They are accredited by the APA, and they partner with them for continuing education and all that kind of stuff. So basically Harvard is APA. And so what they're suing is because this sets up different standards of behavior, sanction, and treatment for men and women, and violates Title IX. So using the APA's own guidelines, Harvard University has adopted a biased training material that rely on sexual stereotypes. And in doing so, the school discourages men from seeking counseling services because no reasonable male person would seek counseling at a clinic where his sex is considered to be a form of mental illness.
Wow. That
masterful. My gosh.
So there you go.
I'm so sorry. I feel bad for every good guy I know. And that's all the guys I know, really. Like, I know, Alan, you were joking earlier this week on Facebook about your toxic masculinity, but...
That's right.
You had
like,
I'm not sorry about it either.
What is the toxic masculine thing you've done today?
Well, let's see.
Jay, have you done anything toxic and masculine today?
Other than exist?
Work. I went to work. I mean, that's awful.
Yeah, I did work. I
spent an hour on the treadmill. That's obviously exploiting my superior muscle development.
I ogled a woman.
Oh no.
Mm-hmm. I did. Unashamedly.
Okay.
Cause that's how I roll. Yeah, but it's, you know, it's just, I mean, the bare definition of toxic masculinity is I mean, you can remove the toxic. It's masculinity.
Right.
Everything men do and are is toxic, according to this my worldview. I mean, there's, you know, men's existence is toxic.
Well, you know, I'm going to. Yes, they probably feel that way, but there are things that are toxic masculinity that we all can agree on.
Well,
like
sure,
sexual harassment is pretty toxic.
But and it goes back to that whole Me Too thing, because, you know, when we talked about Weinstein and his weird behavior of, you know, pulling his junk out in front of women and walking out in a robe and stuff like that, you know, I've never done that with anybody. I've never done that at work. I mean,
would your coworkers be surprised?
Yeah. I mean, you can't say, well, times were different back then, because no, times, I'm sorry.
It was like
but,
3 years ago.
Yeah. But you know, you can say that, well, you know, things, you know, the casting couch in Hollywood and the, you know, the secretary pool in, you know, New York. And I mean, you can point to stuff like that, but I submit those are aberrations. Those are not considered acceptable and were made fun of even then.
Yeah.
You know, the whole secretary couch thing makes me think of Matt Lauer.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean
his rape button?
His rape button, yeah, but also the fact that everybody knew.
Sure.
Everybody was like, oh, don't go in his office by yourself. So, like, I'm trying to understand, you know, like.
I don't think.
I've always thought, like, if you keep letting someone get away with their bad behavior, you're kind of also culpable. And I think that, you know, like with Harvey Weinstein, like he had female assistants who would set up these meetings with young starlets.
Yep.
So,
but I don't think that kind of thing, I mean, that's clearly not toxic masculinity, because women were involved in it as well. And then you have who is the actress that was the that was on like Smallville, that wound up being like running a sex slave ring. And
what?
Yeah, the yeah, you didn't hear about that?
I'm unfamiliar.
Yeah, what's her name? I can't remember her name. She was an actress on Smallville. She played
Misha Barton.
Yeah.
Is that her?
No.
No?
Who was it? It was Chloe something or other.
I do not know. Now I have to look it up, though.
Yeah. Allison
Smallville.
Mack. Allison Mack, who played Chloe Sullivan on Smallville. She ran she ran a sex trafficking, sex like slavery operation where they actually branded women and stuff like that. And you know, so this kind of behavior is it's not limited to men. So you can't really call it toxic masculinity. It's just fucked up, aberrant behavior.
Yes.
It's people being assholes.
Yeah. It's not men don't own that. I mean, that's.
Well, men don't. I mean, look at all the female teachers that have been.
Sure.
You know, with. Come on.
Yeah, that's funny. You almost can't get a job as an elementary school teacher if you're a male because, you know, oh my God, you're assumed to be a child rapist. But, I mean, look at all these, like, it's like left and right. And these are the only ones we know about, you know. It's starting to sound like the Catholic Church cover up of priests. I mean, it's
it really does.
Like, holy crap.
I the women who are like with 12-year-old boys, like what?
Well, they're reliving the best years of their life or living it for the first time or something.
Well,
but you know, it's
no, it's
not toxic it's masculinity.
I don't think it's masculine or feminine. I think it's toxic people are toxic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Because I know plenty of toxic women, and I read a thing on I think it was Twitchy or something or one of the responses to this whole Gillette thing is like, oh sure, like boys will run around and punch each other and wrestle and be boys, but you know that's terrible. But girls only bully each other until one of them gets an eating disorder.
Yeah.
And that is a God. Honest truth.
Yep. Oh yeah, women are horrible to each other. Especially, you know, it's like you said, it starts around puberty, middle school, and then gets worse.
Because here's the thing. Little girls are violent, just like little boys.
Sure.
Given a chance, they will fight and kick and punch and you know, whenever they can. But they, at least in my case, I never hit another girl because I knew that socially I would never have another female friend if I had a girl. But boy, I hit boys a lot. But like they were my friends. You know what I mean? Well, you know what I mean because you're both guys.
Yep. Oh yeah, guys always punch their friends.
Yeah.
It's what you do.
And you just stayed friends and like whatever. And I was telling Alan earlier today, I had this boy that I was friends with and we were really good friends and I would hit him all the time and I would kick him all the time and you know, we were friends and we ended up going to homecoming two years in a row.
And
well, he was gay, but like, so what? Like, it was just like a guy thing. Like, it was just like your buddy, you know, but I would have never hit another girl because if you hit a girl hitting a girl, oh, you're like social pariah at that point, right?
That's because women are more twisted, evil, and violent than men ever thought about being.
Yeah.
That's toxic femininity. Yet again.
It is.
Yet again. It is. There's projection going on.
There really is. And yes, I think that might be part of it is projection. Because, I mean, you see how women treat each other Okay. Sarah Palin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Carly Fiorina. You know, put any conservative woman out there, and all of a sudden, she's not even a woman at that point.
Oh, yeah. Gender traitors or whatever.
So, yep. You know.
I know what got me the most about it was that nobody at Gillette said, hey, maybe this isn't the greatest idea.
I know. Like,
you know, this is PR. Okay, you're doing this for PR. And you want to be socially aware. You want to show everyone how good a company. Look at us, we're good. You know what you could do? You're Gillette. You make disposable razors. Raise awareness for the environment. Your product is dumping plastic shit into landfills by the ton. Do something good on that front.
Oh, that would cost them too much money, Jay. That's not going to happen.
Bingo. But nobody said, you know, this campaign, while we think it looks great, do you think it could be taken the wrong way and men could think we're attacking general masculinity? We're attacking manhood, which is the overwhelming fucking majority of our customer base.
Right.
Let's not appear to be denigrating our customers. Don't shit on the people that pay your fucking salary. Nobody ever said, maybe we should try something a little different.
Maybe we should just not do this at all.
Maybe we should just keep our fucking mouths shut.
Well, this is also the same company that for years has done the whole, you know, Venus thing and, you know, charge women twice, three, four times as much for the same damn thing, only it's colored pink.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's
pink. The pink tax.
Yeah. And they, you know, I saw a picture somebody posted on Facebook recently of these, you know, these women wearing skin tight body suits with Gillette across their butt. You know, I mean,
but that's not toxic, man. That's not toxic corporate entity or anything. This is so, just, you know,
shut the fuck up, Gillette.
You know, it's again, the first rule of marketing is don't insult your customers. You know, Ford doesn't come out with the new ad campaign for their F-150 saying, hey, fucking morons, buy this truck. Or, hey, if you already own a Ford, you're a fucking retard. Want to buy another one? I would think this isn't marketing 101. This would be like what they teach you on the first goddamn day when you sit down in the class. Hey, why don't we not piss off our customers? Crazy idea. I
just read a funny
thing. Is this woman who invented this ad campaign, is she, or short film, is she like related to the president of the company? Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, why did they let her go ahead and like support her in this, and what were they trying to achieve?
Well, okay, so Gillette's owned by Procter & Gamble, which is a huge, huge company.
Yes.
So the people that run huge, huge companies are completely divorced and separate from reality in ways that you and I and people that listen to this show could not even imagine. They're
Levi's.
Yeah,
right?
They're like politicians, right? So they're sitting in their country clubs and they're doing, you know, they're in their coastal elite enclaves and they're not interested in what you or I react to it. They're interested in what the people they hobnob are going to say. So when they do stupid shit like this, it's not because they think, oh, you know, our customers are going to love it. They don't give a shit about that. What they think about is, man, you know, Tiffany at the club is going to love this. And, you know, whoever they're trying to impress, you know, it's elite virtue signaling. It's the same, you know, it's just like the Nike thing and the, you know, it's all that Starbucks and all these big ass companies that do this dumb shit. And they have so much money. They really, you know, they don't care. You know, there's a,
you get
in this whole like shareholder value and thing, you know, you get, it used to be that companies exist to make shareholders money. They don't actually teach that anymore in business schools. Now the focus is on, you know, the company has to do something meaningful. You know, it has to be socially conscious. It has to be, you know, the millennials want to work for a company that's like, you know, whatever. It's not, you know, make our, you know, the fiduciary responsibility of a company is to make money for its shareholders. That's all. That's the only thing, you know, until recently, that's the only thing that companies existed for. And when they stop making money for their shareholders, they go out of business. And and that's basically at these giant companies that no longer flies. They're busy making virtue signaling to each other, and you know, they have so much money and they
too big,
you know,
to fail.
Well, yeah, I mean, they make, you know, Procter & Gamble and Gillette, they're probably like, whatever, you know. What are they going to do? Buy another razor from somebody else? You know, they don't see it that way. To them, they own the market. So who cares?
At the Dollar Shave Club, just had a very happy week. Let's just put it that way.
Well, I'm sure they did, but I bet you Gillette's losses from this will be minuscule, if at all. I mean, people love to get outraged, but when they go to the grocery store and buy their razors, plus you got to remember, who buys most of the razors? Women.
Do we?
Well, women go to the store and buy the razor for their husband, right?
I don't.
Well,
but okay.
I assure you, they do the market research. They know who buys this stuff.
Yeah. Huh.
So.
That's a good point.
People bitch about Nike buying into the Colin Kaepernick thing, but you know, Nike made money off of that.
Yeah, so,
so they don't. You know, we can piss and moan about what a shitty ad it is, but I bet at the end of the day, I bet it doesn't affect Gillette's bottom line at all. It'd be nice if it did.
Well, I think some companies should come out and do a toxic femininity thing.
Yeah, but see, the thing is nobody would do that.
Why?
Because they're just not going to.
They'd be sexist. Are you kidding?
Well, not only that, but it's just dumb. I mean, it's, you know.
Why is it dumb?
Well, it's because it's market. It's like Jay said, don't piss off your customers. You know, I mean, you can, you know, here's the thing. Feminists, radical feminists can get away with man hating.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no men's group anywhere that can get away with hating women. It's not done.
Yep.
Only women are allowed to hate other women.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I got that. We're pretty clear on that issue.
You know, it's interesting because, again, on Facebook, I saw somebody posted, you know, just a blurb that said, you know, hey, what if Adidas were to make a commercial saying, hey, black people, stop killing each other and robbing people.
Ooh,
that wouldn't offend the vast majority of black people that don't kill people or rob people, yeah, would it?
Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Again, if you can change one part,
yeah,
and it's horribly offensive, guess what?
Yeah,
the original is horribly offensive too.
Yeah, exactly. Replace masculinity with anything else.
Right,
and it's
the people that are like, they're just telling people to be better.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is the base assumption is you're toxic.
Yeah.
How can you not be better? If you keep living your life the way you are, you're a horrible piece of shit. That's what they're saying.
Well, it's also a lose-lose proposition, right? So they made this video, and now they're saying if you are offended by this video,
right,
you're one of the people that we're telling to be better.
Yep.
You can't win. Which is like what liberals do, basically, right?
It's exactly what they do. The only way to win
liberals,
is not play the game.
When did liberals become like the new Puritans? Like, when did that happen? Suddenly, like, they're this puritanical.
1984.
I'm kind of segueing into.
Yeah, that's a great segue.
Trump and the football team. Because, what was it? The Clemson Tigers, right? Am I right?
Yes,
because I don't know sports. Clemson?
It's Clemson something or other.
I'm not going to argue with you. So.
Yeah. It's Clemson. Clemson, the Clemson football team.
All right. Clemson. I think it's the Tigers.
Yeah.
It is the Clemson Tigers, and I only remember Tigers because I like cats. But anyway, they won the big football thing.
College championship.
Help me. Thank you.
Yeah, the college championship. what Jay said.
Yeah, and it is traditional for them to go to the White House.
Yep.
You know, the team to go to the White House after they win. And Trump, because of the shutdown, he doesn't have like the full staff at the White House to do the whole, you know, fancy schmancy food thing. He improvised. And I think he improvised brilliantly. He decided he has a football team here. You know, kind of like teenage 20s.
Right.
Dudes, like big dudes, football dudes. What do they want to eat? They want to eat hamburgers and pizza and chicken nuggets. And so he ordered a shit ton of fast food.
I was just going to say that, you know, their season is over. So
yeah.
They don't have to, like, you know, they don't have to be 100% focused on, you know, eating only healthy stuff and whatnot.
Right.
Because we're hearing, you know, oh, well, all that fast food, it's just terrible. And these are athletes. And it's like one meal is not going, they're not going to turn into 800-pound invalids because they had one meal.
Not only that, these are guys that routinely eat, you know, 6,000 to 8,000 calories a day. And then go out and burn it off on the field. So, you know, there is no such thing as junk food to these guys.
Right.
No,
right.
It's just calories. Yeah. Calories in, calories out for these guys. I mean, yeah. And so Trump had this spread of fast food. And I think it was like, he was trying to be equal. Like he did Burger King and McDonald's and, you know, like he did
I'm looking at a picture and there's two giant serving trays full of like salad.
There were also salads.
Boxes.
Yes.
So you know, it wasn't all crap.
Right.
You know, if you're into that salad thing, you know.
But the point is that Trump did this great improvisation of, oh my God, we're having these football guys come in. What are we going to do?
Right.
Let's order fast food. Let's put it out on a spread. Let's make it look fancy. I mean, they have like the dipping sauces, the little nugget on like silver platters. Oh. And they had the French fries in little presidential cups. And like, how cool is that?
Yeah.
But of course the media, the liberal media was like, oh no. It's so tacky. It's so awful.
Right. Well,
If he could
agree about the wall, this wouldn't happen.
Well, yes. But I think that was the whole point. Like, he was like, okay, well, we're going to have a little fun. And we're going to, you know, have hamburgers and pizza and chicken nuggets. And this is what we're going to do. I thought it was cool. And apparently all of the football guys that were there thought it was cool, too.
Oh, yeah, they loved it.
Oh, yeah. The biggest problem, you know, the naysayers in the media are like, well, you know, of course they're going to be polite. Of course they're not going to say anything. You know, these are young men who are, you know, they're on their best behavior, blah, blah, blah. Look at the fucking pictures. These guys are having a fucking blast. This is their This is the most awesome thing. Because here you are. You're a football player. You won the championship. You're already like, this is awesome.
Right.
You're going to the White House. That's really cool. Okay, what's it going to be like? You're going to have some catered dinner. It's going to be some...
Yeah, rubber chicken or some bullshit
or some fancy bullshit.
Yeah.
And I want to sink my teeth into a cheeseburger. And you got Donald Trump, who, remember, fucks porn stars.
Yep.
Feeding you McDonald's and Wendy's. This is... You can't possibly get more America.
Yep.
If Trump had walked out on the back deck and cranked off a belt from a Mod Deuce, that's the only way this could have been more America. And because of that, you know, he has to be destroyed because he's evil, orange man bad.
Right. I thought it was funny. But he tweeted that he bought, you know, I paid for over 1,000 hamburgers.
And they started arguing with the number.
Right. So they got, you had all these guys, all these liberals that are like forensically examining the pictures and trying to count the hamburgers and stuff to prove that he didn't actually order 1,000, you know. And
I think he does that stuff on purpose.
Of course he does.
Yeah. And again, imagine, if you will, imagine, go back 5 years. The government is shut down because the Republicans don't want Obamacare. Whatever football team wins, Obama has them to the White House, and he, out of his own pocket, pays for a full Panera Bread spread or whatever, you know, whatever.
Whatever liberal food they
eat. How hard would the media have fallen over themselves to claim him the greatest human being that ever walked the earth?
Right.
Sure.
You would not have been able to turn on a TV broadcast, pick up a newspaper, open a website without this is what leadership looks like and fawning friggin' is it hagiography or hagiography?
Yeah, whatever.
Yes.
That thing. I've only read the word. I've never heard it pronounced. This just glowing beatification of Barack Obama because he did this wonderful thing. And, oh, it's such a shame those evil Republicans can't stand the thought of him succeeding. So they're thwarting him at every turn. They obviously they're racist and don't want a black man to succeed. I mean, you would have heard this in-depth analysis of why everything that the Republicans were doing was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
How wonderful Barack Obama was for what he did.
Yep.
Which is kind of like what's been bugging the shit out of me with this whole shutdown. Because we have an exact comparison just a few years ago.
Yep.
In fact, no, not really, because Barack Obama went out of his way.
Oh, yeah. He was awful. I remember.
He put a barricade to keep veterans out of out of the memorials.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, things that weren't staffed and took no effort to do at all. He paid extra to have barricades put up so people couldn't even get to the damn things.
And post guards so people couldn't get in.
Yeah.
And again, what were the news stories? Was it, I can't believe Barack Obama won't work with the Republicans? No, it was those obstructionist Republicans. Blah, 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 blah.
Sure.
Flash forward now. Again, we have a president squared off against Congress. The matter is funding, so the government is shut down. And magically, the person deemed at fault has switched. Interesting. It not even compare, Obamacare was, we are going to force people to buy a product they may not want. We are going to use the power of the federal government to force people to buy something. It doesn't matter what that something is. You're forcing people to buy something. And that was all hunky-dory. Trump wants increased security on our borders.
Nope. Can't do it.
How dare he?
Yeah. How dare he want the government to do what the government's supposed to do versus... wanting the government to do something the government isn't supposed to do and is, you know, technically a violation of the Constitution. And since they repealed the tax, they don't even have that fig leaf to hide under. So, you know, night and day.
I saw what I think is my absolute favorite, not defense, but another dig. They're taking digs at Trump and the wall from another angle. Well, overstaying visas exceed the number of illegal crossings. I'm like, how the fuck can you say that? You have no fucking clue how many people are coming to the country illegally. You're a fucking moron. You know exactly how many visas were issued. That is a known fact.
Yep.
You know how many people have overstayed them. Also a known fact.
Right.
How can you compare that to the number of people crossing illegally? Guess what? You don't know. And that's part of the fucking reason he wants the wall, you morons.
Yep.
Because we don't know. We have no clue who's coming over, how many people are coming over, how many people are in here illegally. You've got sanctuary cities where you walk in, poof, all your sins are forgiven. Oh, you want to murder someone? Oh, that's fine. You're an illegal alien. Oh, that's fine. We'll keep you safe. We won't deport you. So how can you come up with a concrete number to compare against an actual known number? They're just making shit up out of whole cloth because they don't like Orange Man.
Yep.
You know, more people are killed by alien attacks. I mean, okay. We have something that cannot be quantified, literally cannot be quantified. We will actually fight against you if you try to quantify it. Because they're protesting at ICE. They're protesting the people who are trying to get rid of the illegal immigrants. Just the ones committing crimes. Which leads me, by the way, into one of my absolute favorite things ever. If I may digress for just a moment.
Sure.
Digress. Sure.
I want to say it was Seattle. I'm not 100% certain. But there was a big protest outside one of the ICE offices. And one of the things that the police did to get the protesters to disperse was to play heavy metal music at loud volumes. They complained because the angry dad rock was condoning violence against them. The song they was Metallica's Enter Sandman.
Oh my God.
Which as a Metallica fan, as someone who's seen Metallica in concert, Enter Sandman is one of the least offensive.
Oh, yeah. I was about to say. Could have
played.
Yeah.
And these fragile little snowflakes were complaining about how he was exhorting violence against us. Sleep with one eye open. That's a threat.
Please.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh my God.
It's actually about crib death. But anyway.
Oh my God.
You are so frail that the most bland vanilla song by Metallica sends your panties in a bunch. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say panties. That's insinuating their gender. It sends your underpants. It put your diaper in a bunch. Anyway, that didn't happen this week. That was a while ago. But yes, angry dad rock.
My favorite thing.
Yes.
Okay, so we had Pelosi who decided to uninvite Trump for the State of the Union address. She's like, nope, you can't have a state of, we don't want you to have a State of the Union address in the House. Okay. You know, there's constitutionally the president just has to do a report. It's a fairly recent thing that he goes in front of the House and gives a big speech to everybody. All he could write it, you know, he could do a speech in the Rose Garden. He can do the report on the State of the Union any way he wants to. There's nothing in the Constitution that says he has to go stand in the House and do it that way. So he's, you know, she might be shooting her own, you know, this, she's giving up the option of having the, you know, a Democrat, you know, pictures of the Democrats sitting there grumpy while Trump gives a speech. So if you're going to throw down with Trump, you better be prepared, because some of the Democrats, including Pelosi, were supposed to leave today on a junket to very, you know, it's basically a fancy vacation for a week where they're going to fly around the world and go to different places and be, you know, all like, you know, Congress, you know, hoity-toity and whatnot. So anyway, today, Trump sends a letter to Nancy Pelosi. Dear Madam Speaker, due to the shutdown, I'm sorry to inform you that your trip to Brussels, Egypt, and Afghanistan has been postponed. We will reschedule this 7-day excursion when the shutdown is over. In light of the 800,000 great American workers not receiving pay, I'm sure you would agree that postponing this public relations event is totally appropriate. I also feel that during this period, it would be better if you were in Washington negotiating with me and joining the strong border security movement to end the shutdown. Obviously, if you would like to make your journey by flying commercial, that would certainly be your prerogative.
Wow. Oh, you know what surprised me the most about that was that there was no mention of the 30 some odd strong Democrat contingent that went down to Puerto Rico to see a showing of Hamilton.
Yeah.
As part, and there's pictures, you know, Senator Bob Menendez on the beach at a resort in Puerto Rico during the shutdown. Now I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that none of them paid for this on their own dime.
Of course they didn't. They never pay for it on their own dime.
So you've got 30, you've got nearly three dozen. And I would be very surprised if it was just the lawmakers.
No.
You know, it's staff and significant others and...
Yeah, wives and mistresses.
And you know, now, where am I getting this information? Snopes, because it's unproven. The claim is unproven, and then they proceed to prove it.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. If you're on the fucking beach in Puerto Rico, you're on a vacation. You're not on a fact-finding trip.
Yep. Well, on the heels of telling Pelosi she can't fly to,
she found out while she's like en route to get on the plane.
Yeah, they were like on a bus, and the bus went out and turned around and did a U-turn and came back.
Well,
he waited until they were like on the way to the plane to tell him. And that's totally in his prerogative, because you know he's the commander in chief. They were going to take a military flight, and he's like, nope, sorry. We can't pay.
It's gonna get good.
We can't pay, Coast Guard guys. And you want to waste money on a flight, on a bullshit flight. Not only did he cancel her flight, he canceled the Davos delegation. which if anything, maybe more important, because that's just a big. Rich, you know, it's that thing where all the liberals get together and plan how they're going to run the world when they take over. And that U.S. delegation in Davos canceled.
Dun dun dun.
So
you know, they are really seriously miscalculating him.
Oh yeah,
I think they're operating with him as if he was kind of. This Washington guy kind of like invested in being a politician, blah, blah, blah. But Trump, like, he doesn't give a fuck. He's like,
nope.
Okay. So I don't get reelected next time. I'm going to go home and what? Like roll around in my $1 billion. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Trump has no downside here.
No.
At all. And,
I love him for this. Because no other president, including Republican presidents of the past, would have done this to Nancy Pelosi.
Of course not. They would have caved in long ago.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have had a continuing legislation and blah, blah, blah. And Pelosi would have gone off on her thing. And, you know, it would have been business as usual.
And, they're so used to the Republicans caving. They don't know how to handle when they don't. It's hysterical. They just have no clue. And they hurl epithets at him, and he just shrugs it off.
Yeah, you know, who cares?
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez called you
rape. I love that.
His response, who cares?
No, first he said, who? and then when they told him who it was, he was like, who cares?
It's the woman who's going to run a train on the...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
See, we could do a 2-hour show on this shit.
Oh, God, yeah. On the infamous AOC.
Oh, yeah. We could do a whole hour just on her.
Speaking of an hour.
Yeah, it's time.
Yes. It is time.
It is. Man, there was one more thing I wanted to say. And now I can't remember.
Can you save it for next week?
I won't remember.
Next week.
It was nothing.
It was something, but you'll think about it about 3:00 in the morning. You're gonna wake up. Oh,
damn it.
Oh shit, that's right.
Yep.
Well, that's why we take notes, right?
Right. Now Jay will not be here next week.
We'll not be here
next week. Oh no, we need a co-host.
We'll have to find somebody to fill in for Jay who will be at some place in the desert.
I'll be in SHOT Show. We can say SHOT Show.
Oh, okay. We can say SHOT Show.
There's no secret.
Oh, I know what I wanted to talk about.
What?
The Think Progress article, and I don't know if Jay can comment on this or not, but there was a woman who with a concealed carry permit who shot a mugger. Guy that was going to mug her, and she had a gun. And he was like, you know, give me your money or your life doing that thing. She pulled out her gun and shot him. And he died.
Mm-hmm.
Think Progress.
Shot him dead.
Yeah, shot him dead. Think Progress is like, oh, that's not how justice works. The penalty for theft is not death, nor do we want it to be. So they're more upset that she defended herself and killed the mugger than they are that he was mugging her. Now, when you point a gun at somebody, that's a lethal threat. That's the pinnacle of a deadly assault and, you know, a deadly threat. There is no legal.
And there's no one saying that he was mugging her. He may have not been robbing her. He may have wanted to rape and kill her.
Right. Exactly. Right. All we know is he.
Well, never
a gun.
Know.
Yeah.
Which again, like, I've heard this before. So this isn't the first time it's come up.
No, this is what's going on in England right now, where it is illegal to defend yourself against
an
attack of any kind.
Insane.
Well, but you know, again, I'm disappointed, and maybe Hayden can come on next week and explain. I'm so disappointed in the English, because if somebody accosts you on the street and you defend yourself, why wouldn't you just say, oh, no, I mugged him back?
Oh.
And you get a ticket and you go about your business. No,
tricky
no, I didn't defend myself. I decided to mug him back. He took my wallet, I took his wallet. That's how it works.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, nobody's come up with that. I'd be like, no, I wasn't defending myself. Fuck, I was robbing him. Yeah, I beat him up. I was robbing him. What part of I was robbing him didn't you understand? You know, take his wallet. What the fuck? Make money. I understand. I'm exhorting my male privilege here, but
yep. Yeah. Anyway, that was the one I wanted to get in.
Anyway,
it's just like insane. I said,
I've heard that before,
all the time. Usually, it comes from the family of the honor student who was doing the evil deed. You know, oh, my little honor student didn't deserve to die. Well, you know, when you start doing shit like armed robbery and, you know, stuff like that, you know, guess what?
People don't have thought bubbles over their heads. It's not The Sims. You can't, you know, the guy that's holding a knife saying, give me your wallet. He doesn't have a little bubble over his head that says he just needs $20 to buy his kids medicine. You have no idea what's in that thought bubble over his head. he could very well be thinking, as soon as this guy hands over his wallet, I'm going to kill him so there's no witnesses.
Right.
You don't know. There's no way of knowing. And the best way to not get shot is to not rob people.
Yes.
Yeah, that's...
He just walked by her, he would still be with us.
That's right. Don't try to take other people's shit. And you know, that's like a universal rule. Don't want to get shot robbing people? Don't rob people.
Rob people. I will go with the great philosopher Will Smith. Don't start none, won't be none.
Yeah. And on that note...
And that note, folks...
If we don't get somebody to co-host for next week, there won't be none.
Somebody will co-host.
Yeah, we'll find
somebody. Grab Hayden, and he can bring the British perspective.
I like having Hayden on.
Why people aren't more creative?
I don't want to like assume that Hayden's just sitting there waiting for us to call him. Hayden will do it. You know, because that's not cool. But we like having Hayden on as much as we can get.
Hayden classes up the joint. It's that accent. It really is. It does. British. She's.
Yep.
I want a ringtone of Hayden saying, bugger off. I don't know. All righty.
Okay. Good night.
Good night,
y'all. Have a great week, everyone.